Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to What She Said, an episode of the LA FBI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights. And today I'm going to be speaking with Mariana Carreño King, whose play Patience, Fortitude, and Other Antidepressants is currently playing at LATC's Encuentro 2014. Mariana is a writer, director, and translator. Her plays have been developed at Mabu Minds, INTAR, Labyrinth Theater Company, Miracle Theater, and the Public Theater, among others. As a director, she's worked with Rising Circle, IATI Theater, INTAR, Cherry Pit, and The Lark in New York, and Stages Repertory in Houston. Mariana is in the Advisory Committee for the Lark Play Development Center and the U.S.-Mexico Playwright Exchange, and she's a member of Labyrinth Theater Company and an alumna of Hispanic Playwrights in Residency Lab at INTAR. So welcome to you, Mariana.
Hi, Allison. Thank you.
Patience, Fortitude, and Other Antidepressants is billed as an urban riff on Federico Garcia Lorca's Yerma, which is extremely evocative. So I wondered if you could talk a little bit about that original inspiration for the play.
Well, what happened was that INTAR created a new acting company called Unit 52. So we auditioned people, and we got 12 actors. This was 2 years ago. So we worked with them. We trained them, Daniel Jaquez and I, and a whole bunch of other teaching artists. At the end of their residency, I was commissioned to write a play for them. The company had way more women than men. And we talked about doing an adaptation of a classic. So we chose mostly because I love the play, really, but also because there were a lot of women. And that's how it started. It was a little bit of a device piece in the sense that I worked with all the actors, and we read the play, we did text analysis, we did improvs, we decided what themes were of interest for all the younger actors, what was still relevant from the play, and that's how that play was created, basically. And then for this year, the company had grown to 23 actors. So we auditioned them to come here, and I rewrote the play for the Encuentro.
And so for the process of the play, you were talking a little bit about improv and it being a devised piece, but I wondered how specifically you worked in order to get that devised feeling.
Well, I mean, I did work with the actors a lot, and a lot of the improvs either made it to the play or inspired entire scenes of the play. A lot of the young actors didn't identify with Yerma, with the idea of being barren, not having kids. A lot of them were like, well, people don't have kids, and that's fine, which obviously was not the case in 1930s rural Spain. So we were sort of like extracting and distilling the play to find what was relevant to them, what were the themes. So it was, yes, having a family, but also art, creating, jobs. Most of the actors in the company are, not all, but a lot of them are Latinos. So there was a big controversy with the stop and frisk policies that of New York that affected them, that cops were just stopping them for nothing. So those things sort of like totally made it to the play that were still relevant to Yerma, but not necessarily rural Spain in 1930s.
Okay, great. So you didn't work with any particular devising technique. Like I know Tectonic uses that moment work. It sounds like you worked mostly through discussion and then just getting it up on its feet and working it.
Yeah, I mean, I borrowed from a lot of techniques and a lot of, you know, it was very eclectic. But yeah, it was very loose. Because also, I mean, there was training. They had classes. They had actual classes. And I would come in like I was there all the time. But every once in a while I would have like, okay, I need 2 hours with kids. And I would work with them for 2 hours. And then I would go home and write. And then I would come back and with pages, with scenes, and say, okay, what do you guys think?
Wow. How great. That's like the immediacy of theater, the immediacy of getting a reaction and seeing your pages up on their feet. That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it was an awesome experience.
And you mentioned a little bit that Isabella is a character really focused around creativity. She's a painter, so from her painter to her desire to have a child, she's really all about bringing new life into the world. But she's married to this workaholic policeman. So can you talk a little bit about their relationship and the conflict there?
Yeah, I mean, that relationship is very much based in Yerma. And the original Yerma wants to have family, wants to have a child. And Juan, her husband, is all about the work. So that's the sort of like the stereotypes of the characters. In this case, Isabella does want to have a family, but she doesn't know why. It's something missing in her life, and she's painting the same thing over and over again. And she doesn't know why. What's happening? And it's just something is missing in the relationship, whether that's a kid or that's communication or that's the relationship itself going wrong or that's creativity. It's this idea of lacking something, of knowing that there is something else to life that she's not quite living, that she knows that she's missing. And that can be interpreted as a family, as a child, or as art, as something else to give.
You also get into the living nature of art and how it it can both speak to us and how it lasts kind of longer than our lifespans usually, because with this very playful device when Isabella's paintings come to life and kind of act as helpers and guiders in her life. So how does that serve the play and move the narrative forward?
Well, because we didn't want it to be specifically about having a kid and having a family and being like, you know, stay at home mom with a kid. Mm-hmm. We started playing with the idea of paintings. And to be honest, the first time that the paintings came alive was because I ran out of characters in Yerma. I mean, even with all the bunch of characters, I was like, oh, my God, I have, like, three more actresses. What do I do? So I was like, okay, you're going to be a painting. And it was sort of, and they became sort of like the conscience. It was like the little angel and the little devil whispering in Isabella's ear what direction her life should take. And then when she started painting the new painting, which is Bella, which is sort of like the main painting in a way, the one who pulls her out of the hole that she is in, we were just having so much fun with the idea of these paintings coming to life and sort of like hovering around Isabella at all times. So it was a practical device in the sense of I wanted to give each character a meaty role, like something that they could really enjoy. And then it became its own thing. It basically took on its own life. And it was wonderful to see how the actors started playing with that idea. Because being a painting is such an abstract thing that it gives you permission to pretty much do anything.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, finally, because we unfortunately have a brief time with the podcast, I always like to, I'd love to talk to playwrights forever if I could, but I always like to end up by asking what you're working on next and what we might be able to look forward to in the future.
Well, right now, I can't give you much details because it's not official, but
okay.
I want a competition in New York of a play that I just wrote. I wrote it with a lark in New York, the first draft, and then I wrote the second draft with Labyrinth and with Rising Circle. And I submitted to this competition, and it won. So I'm going to be going back to New York. I'm going to be jumping into that right away.
Well, fantastic.
As soon as it comes out, I'll email it to you.
Well, you don't have to tell us what it is. Obviously, I don't want to mess you up. But when can we look forward to the actual news?
Probably this week. I mean,
Okay.
was notified already. So I'm just literally waiting for the press release to come out.
Ooh, okay, fantastic. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. And so the production would be in New York next year, probably?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today and break a leg.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you soon.
Patience, Fortitude, and Other Antidepressants plays as part of LATC's Encuentro Theater Festival in downtown Los Angeles. It's directed by Daniel Hackay. For more information about tickets, please visit www.thelatc.org and click on the Encuentro tab, You can call the box office at 866-811-4111. And since the festival is coming to a close, there's actually a deal to get $10 tickets using the code HOTTIX, so Hot Ticks. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.